Hello, we are Tim and Lisa Mahan.
Welcome to God Talk.
All right, everybody. So today we are going to talk about salvation. And so, Lisa, if I were to ask you, what does it mean to be saved? I mean, we talk about salvation a lot. Mm-hmm. And everybody probably has, you know, maybe not a lot, but some varying definitions of what that means. Mm-hmm. But what if I were to ask you, what does it mean to you to be saved? What would you say?
Well, because I'm thinking about saved means saved, healed, and delivered, I could say it's the whole package. I'm complete. I become complete. Mm. But I'm also thinking about how it's just accepting Jesus into my heart and making him my Lord and Savior, surrendering my heart to him and letting him have my heart. So,
yeah. Well, that's a good answer. One of the first scriptures that pops into my head, probably into yours and probably into a lot of people's heads, is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So as you said, it's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's asking Jesus into our heart. I think a lot of times what people get kind of wrapped around the axle on is salvation is something that you experience when you die, right? When you mm-hmm. pass on, mm-hmm. it's about living in eternity with Jesus in heaven. But there's more to it than that even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people sometimes just go through a salvation prayer or try to say they're saved so that they can have insurance so that they don't go to hell.
Right, fire insurance, people call that, right?
So they get fire insurance, but what they might not realize is that God has a greater plan and a greater depth to him, even in his character, that he wants to be close to you. And there's no closer way to be to you than to be inside of your heart.
Right. Well, yeah, and, you know, the Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. So it's not, so salvation isn't just simply something that kicks in once we pass on. It's something that we get to experience now. He came to give us not just spiritual life, but he came to meet us where we were at here, give us physical life, right? To give us, God wants to bless us. Our Father wants to bless us just like any good father wants to bless their children. And so when we accept Jesus into our heart, what we're doing is we're opening up that that relationship with the Father. We're reestablishing a relationship with Father God that was lost way back in the Garden of Eden when the enemy, you know, tricked humanity. Into giving up what we had, what God had given to us to watch over, to minister over the earth. And so salvation kicks in the minute we have or ask Jesus into our heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, all right, I'm saved, so, you know, once I make it through, you know, this life here, then that will kick in. And, you know, it's that, like we said earlier, that fire insurance, so to speak, to ensure we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. But really, it's now. When you ask Jesus into your heart, your life changes at that instant. Mm-hmm. Everything about you changes at that instant. You're a new creation.
Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about how you're a new creation in Christ.
So, yeah, and that's an important scripture, right? I mean, well, it's all important scripture, I guess, but that scripture specifically tells us or explains that to us. But you know, we do outreach. We have a team. We go out and we minister to people on the streets. And, you know, sometimes we get the honor of leading people to salvation, not by our power. Obviously, it's Jesus that's doing that. They're asking Jesus into their heart. But one of the things that you probably would agree that we come across is people sometimes think there are other ways to heaven besides Jesus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some people think other gods are the way to heaven.
Yeah.
So Buddha, I don't know, name some other gods. Your plant, the clouds.
Your plant.
there's different ways. People really believe that the universe, some kind of other force is going to get them into relationship with God. And John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only way that people can come to God is through Jesus.
Yeah, those were his exact words, John 14:6, what you just read. Another scripture is Acts 4:12 that says, salvation is found in no one else. No one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ as well. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, though, I think it's frustrating for people because I think they think it's controlling for God to say that that's the only way for them to get to him is through Jesus, because then they're like, well, I want to do it the way I want to do it. And honestly, to be real, you can't, because the word of God is what speaks, like what changes things. And we believe that the word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the Holy Spirit. So this is God's way to him is through Jesus. He always set it up this way. And so when we've talking about doing outreach, we've ministered to people in the streets and people get frustrated by that concept. And it's not because God's trying to control them or be mean to them.
Maybe another way to look at that too is, you know, if somebody says, you know, that's kind of mean of God to limit me to only one way to get to heaven. The other perspective, and maybe the one that we should all have, is it's established there is only one way to heaven, and God is telling us what it is. He's making it simple for us to make that decision to get there, right?
Yeah.
And it's important to know it's not by anything that we do short of asking Jesus into our heart, right? There's nothing we can ever do. There's nothing no one else except for Jesus can ever do to get us into heaven or to give us salvation.
You mean I don't have to perform?
You do not have to perform.
I don't have to do a jig or...
Well, if I danced, I definitely would not get into heaven if that was the criteria. So thankfully, we do not have to do anything of our own power.
I don't have to do everything perfectly, though?
No. Mm. And you know, but when we talk about work, sometimes that gets kind of twisted up, too, because, you know, a part of salvation, a part of asking Jesus into your heart requires, you know, repentance. And I think a lot of people hear that word and they think, okay, to be saved, I have to basically change my life and walk away from everything that, you know, that maybe even I find enjoyable, whatever. But really what repentance is, it's changing your mindset. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, that's essentially what you're doing. You're recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need a savior. And the only savior is Jesus. He's the only one that can take you out of the sin, because when he died on the cross, he took all of your sin with him. Mm-hmm. When you ask him into your heart, that's what's happening. You're exchanging your sin onto him for his righteousness onto you. Mm-hmm. And we have to be righteous to get into heaven.
Mm-hmm. And we're only righteous by Christ.
By his works, not by our works.
By his works. So it's believing that he's righteous enough to take us and make us righteous.
Absolutely.
To take away our sin. But then that makes me think about how people... So I'm thinking about all these things on outreach that we hear and see, right? So when people say, you know, well, I'm not a sinner, though. So you think I'm bad. You know, you think I'm bad. Like, what's wrong with me? So it's kind of like, well, won't God love the me before I became a new creation? Or is he just going to love me under his condition of me being a creation?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And we do hear that. But if we go back to John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Up at that point, nobody was saved, right? Jesus hadn't come yet, right? Mm-hmm. So God loved us before salvation. He loved creation before salvation. Mm-hmm. He loves each and every one of us even before we are saved.
Well, that makes me think of Ephesians 1 that talks
about... Well, aren't you just being argumentative today?
That makes me think of Ephesians 1 that talks about how he chose us before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Now, I was coming alongside you with
that. I was expecting the quote-unquote, no pun intended, devil's advocate there.
The expression on my face, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, and kind of circling back again, there's that word, circle back. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, when we talk about works, right? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." Mm-hmm. Right? That's the grace of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's through our belief in Jesus and what he did. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And what that scripture, of course, is saying, that it's, you know, grace comes from God. Our belief in Jesus and our acceptance of him is what saves us. It's nothing that we can do to earn our way into heaven, because if there was something I could do to get into heaven, I would be able to boast about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I can't boast, because there's nothing that I can do to get into heaven short of asking Jesus into my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to go along with that, you could also boast about all of the people that you got saved.
Well, yeah, obviously Jesus is the one that saved everybody, right?
Right, but I think it's interesting that it says not by works. So it's not by how many, it's not by all of the methods and programs that you have that you get people saved. It's not by the works of your programs. You can't boast about getting, quote unquote, other people saved.
Right. All we're doing is we're introducing people to Jesus. You know, everybody that's ministering to folks on the street or wherever, you're introducing that person to Jesus. We don't do any of the salvation, right? God's the one that does the saving. That person has to, you know, specifically ask Jesus into their own heart, you know, receive him into their heart for them to receive salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I can do will save them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you can do will save them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just throwing some stuff out there that we hear,
yeah,
just in case someone's listening to this that you're having some questions. So I'm not sure what those questions would be, but I'm just trying to throw some up there for you.
So you can tell we kind of wing these as we go. That's kind of the standard that we're setting for this. So this is just a conversation. We have some points we write down that we want to cover, but no, this is good. We just whatever comes up, right? Whatever we think of.
So we're saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that people would have everlasting life, and that it's only one way to God is through Jesus, and it's by grace that you can be saved.
Right.
It's a gift, right?
It is.
It's a gift that God wants you to have because he loves you.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's in love with creation.
And to reiterate what we said before, that love is already there before you're even saved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about all of the terrible things, if you're talking to somebody that's not saved, and you know, as you're ministering to them, they're going down the list in their mind of all the terrible things they've done in life, that usually leads to them thinking that they're never going to be good enough for God, that God will never accept them because, you know, they did A, B, C, whatever their list is in their head. When really, what we try to tell them, what we should tell them, is that regardless of anything they've done in their life, God's love for them is already established. He loves them.
Mm-hmm.
He loves them. He doesn't want them to be in the situation they're in. He wants them to be saved, obviously. The Bible says he wants the world, or he wishes the world to be saved. Not everybody will accept that, of course. But God loves that person regardless of who they are, where they've been, what they're doing, or even what they're going to do tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing that we can ever do is so terrible that it overrides the power of Christ and his salvation when we ask him into our heart.
Amen. So I'm looking for that scripture about the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance then, because you were talking about repentance a little bit ago. And repentance is turning directions, right?
It is.
So you're repenting from sin, but you're repenting from not believing that Christ is your righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that scripture you're talking about in Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. We have a friend that was recently in Mardi Gras, and it reminds me that years ago we went to Mardi Gras to minister with Scott Hinkle Outreach Ministries. He does outreach in New Orleans every year during Mardi Gras. Very powerful. But one year we went with them, and one of the things that we encountered there that was actually a bigger shock to me than just the environment of all the partying and everything there. What hit me even more than that was there were other Christian groups there that were very militant. They held up signs, and maybe it didn't say this specifically, but what I got from it was, you know, basically, if you're living in sin, God hates you.
Mm-hmm.
And turn or burn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're probably the sole definition of, you know, beating somebody over the head with the Bible. You know, these guys would probably literally mm-hmm. do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in that was not the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a misinterpretation of how God saw people
mm-hmm.
that weren't even saved yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so when people don't want to receive God, sometimes it's because they think that's what he's like, and that's not what he's like.
No, he is a loving God. He mm-hmm. loves us, for God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't, for God was so disappointed in the sin of the world that he gave his only son. And I'm not saying he wasn't disappointed or isn't disappointed, but the point I'm trying to make is what we focus on is the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's his love. His love is what led him to develop this perfect plan of salvation of giving Jesus up
mm-hmm.
on our behalf to take sin onto himself
mm-hmm.
because the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to die. Jesus took that upon himself. That was God's perfect plan of redemption for us
mm-hmm.
because he loved us.
Mm-hmm. And that love is agape love, which is unconditional, which
perfect.
Is
yeah.
which is love without agenda, without strings attached. It's just perfect, pure flow love.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
We make it so difficult, we being humans. We try to make everything difficult, don't we?
Everything.
Salvation is a free, nothing is easier than receiving a free gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A free gift should be the easiest thing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what God is offering to everybody in this package, this perfect salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But we always try to add to it and mm-hmm. say, yeah, you receive Jesus into your heart, but you also have to do this. You also have to, you know, change this in your life. You also have to meet all of these steps or all of these requirements. When really, Jesus plus anything isn't what gives you salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus plus nothing gives you salvation. Jesus is all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we add on to that is just making it harder to live the Christian life because we're trying to live by rules.
Because mm-hmm. you don't have to be good enough for God to love you.
No.
You don't have to, like, he loved you before you even thought about loving him back.
Yeah, before he even knew who he was.
He loved you. Yeah. And agape loved you without agenda. And that scripture that we kind of mentioned was Romans 2:4 that talks about the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, to repent from not believing God. That goodness word means kindness. I'm looking in the Greek. It means easy, like what you just said. It means better, easy, good, gracious, kind. So it really is good.
Yeah, and easy, you know, mm-hmm. that's a key word. Years ago, Lisa and I, we volunteered at a local rescue mission, and what we were doing, we were a pastoral prayer couple, which basically meant that we would pray with people that came in for, you know, people would come in for food and for clothes and stuff like that, but we were there to also pray with them, so you know, not just their physical needs were being met, you know, spiritual needs were being met as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that we met, I guess it was probably early on when we were ministering there, was this guy named Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was an older guy. Well, he was older than us. I don't know how old he was, I guess. But and we're young, by the way. We're very young.
Yeah, we're at least 21.
Yeah. times. No. But anyway, Mike was one of the guys that came in for prayer. Mm. And I don't remember like all of the details of our conversation, but basically we explained to him what God's grace was, you know, and that free gift of salvation that was there for him. And what tripped Mike out was how easy it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember him even saying or asking, is it really that simple? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else to it? Mm-hmm. And we were like, no, that's it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And so he received Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I remember him getting lit up and being completely different. We're not talking about the Holy Ghost in this one, but he got full of the Holy Ghost and mm-hmm. he completely changed. It was so awesome to see that.
Yeah, his life was radically changed. And actually, what you're getting at is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That might be another topic that we do get into.
Yeah.
Kind of focusing on salvation, I guess. So.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's part of that too, right? The Holy Spirit seals us when we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ephesians 1:13 says, when you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's involved with this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, baptism mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit's a different thing. And Mike received that too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. So I remember that he really got lit up, and we were thinking, so before we started this one in salvation, we had a gentleman, a young guy who we ministered to at a restaurant, and we'll call him T, and we asked him, I love words of knowledge when the Holy Spirit gives them, and I'll be honest, I didn't get this one because I really felt like he had grown up in the church. And I asked him, and we'd seen him a couple of times, and I really wanted to honor God and say something to him. I felt like we were supposed to talk to him about God. And I asked him, you know, you must have grown up, you seem to me like you grew up in the church. And he said, oh, no, but I wish I had.
Yeah.
And it was almost like by him saying that, he was saying that it was too late for him to be saved because he didn't grow up in the church. And now a lot of people know that even if you grow up in the church, sometimes you're not even saved if you grow up in the church.
Right.
Oops.
No, that's the truth.
Sometimes you don't even have a relationship with Jesus and accept him into your heart because you were deceived into thinking maybe that, or potentially that you had to work.
Mm-hmm.
You had to work to get God to love you, and now you were off on this big plan and purpose of seeing how many meetings you could do and how much you could, you know, do whatever you had to do to please God. And he's only pleased, like Tim was saying, he's only pleased with you through Jesus.
Yeah.
You're only righteous because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, what?
I'm over here going, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, sister.
Amen. So it's kind of for this person, too. If you're out there and you're listening to this and you think that, well, I didn't grow up in the church, so therefore I can't be saved. That's not true. And that is a lie. And you can receive salvation at any age, at any time, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, you didn't have to grow up in the church or have to, quote unquote, be good enough. And not that people that grow up in the church are not saved, because there's plenty of people who have grown. We have friends who, they had amazing families and amazing salvations. And I mean, they have that story of a family who was generations of people saved, and their family is that way. And it's amazing. But there's those that aren't. And that doesn't mean that you're unredeemable.
Exactly. Regardless of what you've done. I mean, the word Paul was a great example. Before he was Paul, he was Saul, you know, and he was directly involved with Christians being killed because of their belief in Jesus, right? So he literally murdered God's people before he then stepped into the plan that God had for him, which was to minister to people, primarily to the Gentiles. But the point I'm getting at is there is nothing that you have done or could ever do that would unqualify you to receive the salvation through Jesus, right? We've all done things. We've all done things that would be way too embarrassing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But God had never changed the fact that God loved us. Mm-hmm. Whatever you've done, it doesn't change the fact that God loves you. And mm-hmm. He is more than willing for that plan of redemption to include you if you mm-hmm. simply ask Jesus into your heart. Mm-hmm. Receive Jesus' righteousness. Mm-hmm. Cast off all your sins onto Jesus. Mm-hmm. Take on His righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's how God will see you as righteous mm-hmm. because of Christ, because of His works.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so true. And when I think of sin, I think of slavery. More lately than not, it's slavery. So I can be saved and I can be a son of God, but I can still choose to sin. And if I sin, I'm putting myself, it's like I'm a son and I'm putting shackles on me, even though I shouldn't be. So I'm becoming a slave to whatever that thing is when I have the key to take the chains off and be free.
Yep. And you know, you mentioned people in church that aren't saved, right? Just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. You have to take that step of asking Jesus into your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that was me for a long time. I mean, I grew up in church. I was around church a lot as a young person. But I don't really believe I was truly saved until it was in the late 90s. See, this is funny because everybody always seems to remember the exact date and time that they were saved and all of these amazing, you know, fireworks went off in the spirit world and all that stuff, you know. And
They might have.
Well, actually, in the spirit world, I'm sure they did. People, heaven celebrates when we are saved, right?
Yeah.
But the point that I'm getting at was that it was an experience that I believe happened. You know, I know when I was saved. I just don't know the exact date. I could tell you, well, I'll tell you a little bit about it, actually.
Yeah, please.
I was. Might as well talk about it instead of beating around the bush.
Yeah.
So a really good friend of mine who was a Christian, I was in Maryland at the time. I was stationed there. I was in the Air Force. And a really good friend of mine took me to a church, and it was actually an African-American church. There were like, you know, maybe two or three white guys in this church. I was one of them. Mm-hmm. And the point that I'm making with that is when the service was finishing up, God was moving in my heart throughout the service. But as the service was finishing up, the pastor was doing a altar call. And I really felt like I was supposed to go down there. But the music was playing and everybody was dancing. And I, back to the, you know, thankfully we don't have to dance to get into heaven because I can't. I was so focused and caught up on, if I stand up, I got to dance and do all of these things. And so I was sitting in my seat and just praying to God. It's like, Lord, what do I do? And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you just need to stand up. And so I was fighting that. And then finally, though, I gave in. I stood up, and the next thing I know, literally, I was down on the stage hugging this pastor, you know, and receiving Jesus into my heart. And I didn't have to dance at all to get down there. That was awesome. But so that's how it happened for me. I don't know, again, the mm-hmm. date. I mean, I know it was in the late 90s. I can narrow it down to probably a year or two. But that's when it happened for me. Mm. So I grew up in the church, though. I guess that was the point I was trying to make. I grew up in the church, and, you know, that happened later on in life. So I could have kept going just in church and never really asked Jesus into my heart. So if you go to church, that doesn't save you. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. And if you haven't done that, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. Come into my heart.
God said that He didn't want anyone to perish. And I'm not thinking of the scripture reference where it is, but it says that he doesn't want anyone to perish.
Right.
That's who He is. That's His heart. That's the Father toward you and toward me. That's His character. And so it's not a character of get the belt out and see how much I can hit you over the head to get you to do what I want you to do. That is totally not God.
No.
That is totally not God. And
Thankfully.
And so, unlike you, I did not grow up in the church. I got saved when I was, I say got saved because that's what I was taught by the Baptist church, how to say it. And a lot of people got saved in the Baptist church, but I got saved in the Baptist church, and I was 14. And it was during a season, since we're sharing.
Yeah.
It was during a season when my mom was married to my stepdad, and they're no longer, that's another story. I'm not going to go into it, but.
Tell me all the details.
No. So basically, my stepdad was a believer, and he was real on fire for God for about a year of the time that him and my mom were married. So I'm not saying that he became an unbeliever, but there was a season where he was really going to church a lot, and I could just see the glow of God on him. Mm. And my mom was also a Christian, so we were going to church, and he kept asking me if I wanted to be saved, and I didn't want to be saved. And so God was working like you. He was working in my heart, and I just remember thinking, he looked over at me that day and I was crying for no reason because the overwhelming power of God in my heart. And pretty soon, before I knew it, I was up front accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so I didn't grow up in the church and as a Christian, you know, as a believer, I received it later. And I can't say that I did everything perfectly from then until even now. But the Lord, once the Lord gets a hold of your heart, you can go back and you can look and see where he was all the way through with you, through the process of you learning to know how much he loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
And learning to know how free you are and how redeemed you are and how just totally delivered you are. The more time you spend, and usually we're talking about repentance, you want to repent. Like, it feels good to not be a slave.
Amen. we want to be sons and daughters of God. We don't want to be slaves.
Yeah.
Anymore. Slaves to the world or to sin is not as fun.
No, it's not as fun. And sometimes it's instant, like Tim was saying, that the celebration happens right away, and then other times it's like it's a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of a process. And so you got to give yourself a break either way, but God really desires that you spend eternity with him, because ultimately we're talking about salvation, and salvation not just saved, healed, and delivered, but also giving your heart to the Lord, because you will spend somewhere in eternity when this life is over. You will, because I don't want to, I'm not doing turn and burn, because that's not what it's about. But ultimately, if you don't choose God and you say no to him, ultimately, you are going to spend your life in eternity away from him. And you know, we all say in hell. And so then I say that word and we're like, ooh, and then fire. And we have this.
But it's truth.
But it's true. And in TV, though, like in movies and in our culture, we see it all the time. We see darkness all the time. And so we're conditioned to see it as something that's not really harming us. But I can't even imagine the lake of fire. Mm-mm. And it's a real big deal to give your heart to the Lord, to live forever, not just for fire insurance, but for relationship, like what we're talking about. But also so that you spend eternity in heaven and with God, not just flying on clouds and eating cotton candy and marshmallows.
Oh man, I so hope there's frozen yogurt in heaven. But in all seriousness though, I feel that there's people out there that, and well, we've encountered people like this, that they're living their life before salvation, they're living their life, they're enjoying, well, to be blunt, they're enjoying living in sin. They're enjoying the world and everything that the world has to offer. And so when we talk about salvation, one of the first things they think of, or maybe they're concerned about, is, you know, I don't want to give up my life. Like, mm-hmm. I'm enjoying my life. And if mm-hmm. I get saved, that means that I'm going to have to change everything. And really what it boils down to is, don't get caught up in the tomorrow. We try to tell people, just live in this moment right now. Do you accept Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Don't worry about what needs to change or not change in the future. Because what will happen is, if you focus on the now, if you believe Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So right now, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, he comes into your heart. And whatever needs to change in your life, mm-hmm. he's going to walk with you through that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have to, under your own power, stop using drugs because mm-hmm. he's going to be in you to help you do that, or whatever else that you're doing mm-hmm. that you need to walk away from. It's not going to be by your power. It's mm-hmm. going to be by his power in you mm-hmm. and through you. So don't get caught up on everything that you have to let go or mm-hmm. change or walk away from. Just accept him into your life now and let him help you through those future things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That okay. does make sense, that you don't have to try to change before you come to him. You don't have to try to worry about those things that might be going on that you already, because we have this God consciousness inside of each one of us. So we already know if there's something that's going on, like we know it's probably not the best thing for us if we're doing something that is harming us or harming other people. Usually we know, even people who are just not saved, who are, can be, you know, humanitarianist kind of people, they know, or if they say they're good people, then they know some things are just off the, you know, they shouldn't yeah. be doing them. And so.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. There's an innate understanding inside of all of us that knows what's right and wrong for yeah. the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. And so sometimes when you go, well, I'm going to get saved, then all of a sudden you're going to be wearing a Catholic uniform every day and you're going to be proper and prim, and you're not. You're going to be you, and you're going to have God living on the inside of you, just flowing through you, just flowing through your veins, and you're going to be so free that you're not going to be able to stand it. It's going to be awesome. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to be saved.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean your life's going to immediately, you know, spiritually you're immediately perfect the moment you're saved, but physically, you know, we're still on this earth. Physically, we still deal with things. So it's not like you're instantly physically perfect. Hmm. You're instantly spiritually perfect, yes, but physically, you still deal with things, mm-hmm. right? So it's not like once you're saved, everything has to be perfect in the physical sense of your life. Mm-hmm. Let God help you through those things as they need to change, if they need to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the point, I agree with you, and I think the point is that God so loved you that he gave his, like, go back to the scripture that we were talking about. It's, for God so loved you that he gave his only son for you, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we're talking about, eternity. Mm-hmm. You're going to live forever somewhere. Everyone is going to live forever somewhere. And to be sure that you're going to live forever, you should receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
In heaven, yeah.
In heaven.
You're going to be either in heaven or hell for eternity. That's the bottom line.
But. Yeah. And so the benefit is that even if you do pray for fire insurance and you get it and you get saved, then you're going to get all of your, as you renew your mind after you repent, you're just going to get more and more revelation about how you're complete and you're whole. And so you're going to understand, it's like unwrapping the gift every day, all day long, 24/7, you're unwrapping a gift. You constantly have a gift from God in front of you of discovery of your new creation self.
Amen.
Right?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, so I think maybe, could you just walk people. I love the way you do it. Could you walk people through salvation?
Well, the way I do it, it's very simple the way I do it, but absolutely.
Simplicity is my game, baby.
So if you're listening to this and you're not saved, or maybe you're not sure if you are saved, let's just say a prayer. Repeat after me. I will say that the prayer is not what saves you. You know, it's the fact that you're asking Jesus into your heart. That's what saves you. But as I said before, in Romans, where it says, if you confess with your mouth,
10:9-10,
if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, when you're praying out loud, you're confessing with your mouth his lordship. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do that. That's why we have you repeat after us in prayer. The prayer is not saving you. It's asking Jesus into your heart and confessing mm-hmm. it. That's what saves you.
Mm-hmm. And can I just say one other thing? So do you want me to repeat after you, or do you just want to do it?
No, I'm just going to do it.
Okay, because it's confusing to me when I'm just going to say it. Okay, so you know when you listen to somebody and you say, we're going to pray for all the people who are not saved, and then we all repeat again, but we're already believers.
Yeah.
So then I think the people that aren't saved are thinking, well, why are they praying it again?
I'm in a church full of unbelievers. Holy, holy moly.
And I get the concept of trying to support the people that aren't saved. So if you're not saved and you're listening to this, or you're trying to make sure that you are and you repeat after Tim, just know that that is enough. Like, I don't need to... I'm not repeating after him because I'm already saved, okay?
That's good to know. We've been together for a while, so that's great to know that we are equally yoked.
And I just bless you guys in Jesus' name.
Awesome. So again, if you want to pray to receive salvation in your heart, just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to ask Jesus into my heart. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I declare you to be my Lord and Savior. I thank you for this awesome gift, and I receive it and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, then welcome to the kingdom. You are a sister and a brother to us and all other believers. You are a sister or a brother to Christ. You are a son or a daughter of God the Father. And that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Welcome to the Cool Kid Club.
Welcome to the family.
The family.
As a sister of ours says that we love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
And if you need any material, and if you did do that, then reach out to us, email us, and let us know you listened to this podcast and that you want more material, and we'll get you some.
What's our email address?
Our email address is spiritlife.814@gmail.com.
Yep, spiritlife.814@gmail.com.
Yeah, we changed it recently, so that's why I'm searching for it in my brain.
Okay.
So yeah, we are spirit-life-ministries.org.
As our website.
As our website, so.
All right, well, until next time, we pray and speak God's blessings over you, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Mm-hmm. Bless you guys in Jesus' name.
Bye.
Later.